Blondes with glasses, they can't sing. Blondes with glasses, let's do this podcast thing.
Hi, Shannon.
Hi, Becca. Welcome back.
I'm back. I'm back and I'm regretting it immediately.
Oh, God. I'm so sorry.
This is crazy. This is the hardest transition back from a vacation I've ever had.
Was it just because it was the best vacation you've ever had?
Probably, actually.
All right.
It might be. It's pretty high up there in terms of great vacations. And it's just, yeah, it's definitely, I think it's one of the first times where at the end of the vacation, I wasn't like ready to go home.
Yeah.
I think I could have spent a whole month in France.
Yeah.
Very easily. Yeah.
Oh my God. Well, tell us all about it.
Well, I puked a lot at the beginning.
Because of the airplane? Oh my God.
It doesn't add up, actually, what the whole airplane motion sickness thing. It didn't really add up because I had 3 more flights after that and didn't feel nauseated at any one of them.
Huh.
So, don't know what it is. I feel like it's not what my doctor thinks it is. But, yeah, I don't know. Just literally there was... the first flight we had was an hour flight to Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
Less than an hour flight. And I puked as we landed. And then we get to Philly and we have like 5 hours of a layover and I'm like, okay, let me get my stomach back together here. I think I'll be okay. I'll take my prescription medicine they gave me for nausea. Be great. And then we get on the flight to Paris and within an hour on that flight I throw up.
Oh my God.
So there goes that anti-nausea pill.
Oh, no.
That I took that was also supposed to knock me out for the flight. Nope. Didn't happen. And Julie didn't sleep either. Typical red eye. You know, you can't... I don't know. I don't know how people sleep on planes. I don't know.
I can't even think about it as a topic because I just can't stop thinking about how you would be so terrible to sit next to on a plane. Do you go to the bathroom to vomit? Are you vomiting next to the person next
okay,
to you?
Okay, so... No. So on the... Philly flight, I was vomiting next to Julie, thank goodness.
Okay.
into a bag because it was literally as we're like touching down.
Right.
So I can't get up.
Oh my God.
So the Paris flight was at the start of the flight, so I was able to go up and go to the bathroom and spent a lot of time in that bathroom dry heaving.
No.
I'm sure the flight attendant was like, why does this girl keep hogging the bathroom? We arrive in Paris, and basically the entire first day in Paris, and into the next day, my stomach is, like, doing this really fun thing where it's like, you're starving, and then almost instantly after having that feeling, it's like, no, you want to puke. And it just keeps cycling through that for, like, 48 hours.
Oh my God.
But there were, like, moments in between where I was still, like, functional to a certain extent, you know. I just wasn't eating a large amounts of food like we had dreamed of, you know, at the beginning.
And this was your best trip ever.
Isn't that crazy? That's telling you something.
Oh my God. You need to become a cruise person, I think. What is happening?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you, because literally that night we've been up for God knows how many hours. We couldn't even keep track at a certain point. We took truly like a 15-minute rest period in our hotel because it was like we got to the hotel and then we both felt like, well, this is our only day in Paris. We have to go out and we have to do something, at least one touristy thing. So we went to the Notre Dame and got gelato.
Okay.
And then went back to the hotel and we're like, great, we have 15 minutes until we have to leave for this game.
Oh my God.
And we literally just sort of lied down for a little while and then was like, time to go, okay? The game starts at 9 p.m.
Oof.
And it was amazing. It was France versus the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And it was incredible. The crowd was amazing. It was like, I would say 60% French supporters and 40% Americans. Like, both showed up in, like, huge numbers.
Yeah.
And it was great. It was a very fun game to watch. We were all very excited. And after it was over, everyone was so congenial. Like, literally, that was the theme of the trip, is every person that we met was so nice. They were just, it was the nicest people. Everyone was just like, you know, good for you guys that you won. You know, we're like, thank you. You guys did really well too. And it was like, okay. You know, it was just like, everyone was just so nice. There wasn't any cursing or anything. There was no alcohol allowed in the stadiums. They only sold non-alcoholic beer, which, why would you buy that? That's just gross. But, you know, to each his own.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think maybe that helped a lot. People weren't getting, like, wasted before the game. Like, I don't think it was, like, the American tailgating mentality in it or anything. And so it was just lovely. And then we get home. It's, like, midnight by the time we go to bed. And we're just on cloud nine because we just won. And it was just, really fun. You could order food to your seat. And they it just said, like, we ordered ham and cheese sandwiches. And we're like, we'll see what that's about. It was, like, a full baguette with this amazing ham and this really nice cheese.
Wow.
It was just like, it was my favorite. It was like one of my favorite meals. It was just so good. Everywhere we went, it didn't matter if you were just getting something to go from the train station or whatever. It was fucking delicious. Oh, it was just so, it was just every day. It was, I mean, minus the nausea at the beginning there.
Yeah.
Every day was wonderful.
Oh, well,
and we just met the nicest people.
I'm sure it helped that your team won and you went all that way to see them win.
100%. I feel like I would have been in a true state of depression if I came back, like, not being in France anymore, having to go back to my office in a cubicle and also having lost.
Right. Oh, man.
Yeah. Well, and just the joy that it's bringing me seeing them on social media drunk all the time is so wonderful.
Yeah, it's been great. As somebody who watched it all here, I just had a great time watching it. And the final day was so exciting because we literally sat down in the morning to watch the final game. It was like 10 a.m. or whatever time it started. And we didn't stop watching sports until 11 p.m. when we went to bed. And it was so, like, it was great because it started the day off, like, it just, like, all rolled together really nicely. And, of course, the last thing we watched was the U.S. men's team play soccer for the final. And it was horrible. It was, like, the tiny little cherry on top of the day that's, like, oh, yeah, they suck. Oh, yeah, that whole thing is a disaster. It should be women playing all the time. Because, we were sitting on the couch watching this game, and it was, you know, they're all babies, they're all falling all over the field, trying to get the ref's attention or whatever, and, like, on top of all this, Kyle's sitting next to me reading, like, I don't know, the news or whatever, or, like, the thread about the game, and everybody's talking about the homophobic cheer that Mexico's team does, and I was like, what's this now? And then we went down this rabbit hole about that, and I was like, fuck this! I want to travel back in time and just watch the women play all over again.
That's the thing, is, like, we really were like, okay, well, we're going to this France game in Paris. You know, if the U.S. win this game, like, maybe we gotta, like, be a little low profile here and, like, not be obviously American. But it was, like, literally the first thing that a French person said to us, like, we got into our Uber on the way home, and he was like, congratulations!
Aww.
And it was just, like, it was just so wonderful, the whole spirit of everything, of all the people. Yeah, and there, the chants in that, in those stadiums, was equal pay.
Yeah,
that was what was being chanted. Like, the president of FIFA was booed when he walked onto the field.
Yeah,
like, I loved that. We sat next to the Netherlands supporters group for Netherlands versus Italy for their quarterfinal, and we sat literally next to the supporters group. And they had, first of all, they have, like, a full brass section, which the U.S. needs ASAP. Like, why don't we have trumpets? We're getting drowned out. Like, the Netherlands have it down.
Yes.
They had the best. I loved all of their chants, their songs. I loved it. It, like, there was one that was, like, it was just some popular song from, like, the 60s or something. And for some reason, that was just one of their chants. They just sang.
Yeah.
They had one to set to the tune of Auld Lang Syne. They had one that was stuck in my head for days, which was just, ooh, ah, me da ma, which is one of their players.
Yeah.
And I just was like, they're delightful. And it was just, that's what it was. There was no homophobic chants. There weren't people screaming like, why'd you do that? You know, it was just just wonderful. Just everyone's just so excited and happy to be there.
Mm. It's so great. Yeah, it was like living in a little bubble. And yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
It just made me really excited for the Olympics, because I feel like that's also that weird bubble of, like, time when female athletes are important to people.
Right.
And it was nice, like, after the final game, I started getting emails from the Washington Spirit again, because I bought tickets when I went with you that one time, and I was like, God damn it, why isn't there a Philadelphia team? Yeah. And I looked to see how far away the New Jersey team is from us, which is, like, an hour plus, but, it sucks, because we have a soccer stadium, and I would love... Right, like, the men play. The men are number one in really our division right now.
Brand new soccer stadium.
Yeah. So, that's rough. And but I bought my... I got a little tank top with the 4 stars on it after the game, because I wanted to throw some money. I did, like, look online. I was like, how do I support them and not FIFA? Because I was like, I want to throw my money to the women if possible. And at first I went to Megan Rapinoe's website because I was going to buy some of her clothes. But she stopped selling it before, they closed down the store before the World Cup.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, that sucks. So I decided to do the soccer store instead, which I guess is okay, but still, it's tough because you want to continue the ball rolling, but this infrastructure isn't here for them.
Yeah. Sad. Yeah. Well, fun celebrity sighting, speaking of Megan Rapinoe, when my sister and I were boarding our 6 a.m. flight from Lyon to Paris after the final, I was like, oh, those seats are open, and we just sat down, and then Julie went to the bathroom, and I looked to my right, and there's Megan Rapinoe's twin sister, her mom, and her WNBA player girlfriend.
Oh my God, Sue!
And Julie comes back from the bathroom, I'm like, Jules! Jules! I was like, slowly look to your right.
Oh my God. That's
amazing. And it was like fucking 5:30 in the morning, and this couple across from them, who we later determined were actually some sort of relation to them, like they were traveling together, but we couldn't figure out how they were connected to them. Seemed like maybe like, my guess at the end was like cousins, I don't know. And because they were just asking these dumbass questions, and because I feel like if it weren't for them, I would have maybe said something, which I don't know if I would have, I don't know. But but they were just asking like dumbass stuff. Like they asked her mom, like, are you ever scared about what she's gonna say? And stuff like that. And I was like, fuck off, whoever you are. And then to find out that they actually knew them, I was like, okay, couldn't figure that one out.
Oh my God.
But that's that was my celebrity encounter.
I do want to say, maybe this is like a little weird to have this thought about your friend, but I did have this thought the night after the final. I was going to bed, and as I lay me down to sleep, I was thinking, the team is probably celebrating right now. They're going to be celebrating all night, and Becca's at that game, so there's possibility that they go to the same bar, and she meets one of the players, and they fall in love, and it's her happily ever after, and it could happen.
I love the idea that we went out partying after, like, we were truly, by the end of that trip, we were so exhausted, and we had that 6 a.m. flight the next morning.
Right.
So literally what we do after the game, which was so sad in retrospect, like, I guess we hadn't, like, we couldn't even wrap our, because that fucking stadium in Lyon is so far away from the city that it is such a pain in the ass to get to, and we're staying at the airport that night, at the airport hotel, that it didn't even, like, cross our minds, like, we gotta go party. It was literally like, how can we get out of here before the crowds take over the 3 trams that they have running to this goddamn stadium? And so, yeah, so we ended up at the airport hotel restaurant.
Oh, no.
As they ran out of food because everyone was back there.
Oh, and God. Yeah.
That was our partying. So no chance of a celebrity encounter that night.
Damn it. That was my fan fiction I was writing in my head. My erotic friend fiction.
It's so crazy the amount of people who have said to me before I left that were like, so you're going to like find someone? You're going to date while you're on this trip? And I was literally like thinking in my mind through the itinerary that we had like put together where it was like, stay in this place one night, go to this city for 2 nights, then go to this city. It's just like the idea that like somewhere in there, I would somehow, Like, we had lovely conversations with so many middle-aged lesbian couples. Of course. Was wonderful.
Yeah.
That's who I seem to encounter. Uh-huh. There were some very charming Australians who, while we were pressed together in this very large crowd trying to get home, were very charming and delightful. But I don't know how you... Again, this is the dilemma of my life, mm-hmm. is how do you meet people in the wild and transition from, hey, we're all stuck in this crowd right now, miserable, sweating. Let's go grab a drink an hour or two from now at 1:30 in the morning when we finally get back to the city.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know. I can't be of much help because all I did was talk to Kyle about astronauts and then, like, a week later we were... dating because of right. Star Trek was boring and we started kissing instead. So
that's what I gotta do. I just gotta find some people, sit next to them, and then have something boring happen.
Yeah. I mean,
and then I'll just turn to them and be like, we wanna make things make interesting? oh my god, we went to a short film festival.
Oh my god.
So the rest days between the semifinals and the final, that, you know, all the teams had, it was like 4 days. We went to Grenoble, France, which is in the French Alps, an amazing city, wonderful, highly recommend. And while we were there, they were having a short film festival.
Neat.
And we were like, oh, cool, let's go check it out. Totally free. You just wander in. There's a second portion of it that was just outdoors in the square that you could just go happen upon. So we sit there, we watch like 6 or 7 short films, and we had read a little descriptions about them before, and we get to the last short film, and the description that we had read online said, a writer has her alarm clock stolen after a sexual embrace.
Oh,
like, okay. Turns out she's a sex worker, and in France, I suppose you're allowed to just show full-on porn.
Oh no.
It was literally... It was like, it was a short film or whatever, and they had the sex scene, but then they showed actual sex.
Oh.
Like, actual erect penises.
Ooh.
And, like, just, I was literally sitting next to maybe an 80-year-old woman.
Oh.
It was wild. Wild. We walked out of there, and I was like, Jules, I guess they don't have the same laws in France that we do. The MPAA. MPAA is only an American thing. Oh. I forgot.
Oh, man. That's crazy. My kind of festival. Jeez.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
It was, it was crazy, too, because all the films were either in French or if they were international films, they had French subtitles.
Oh, of course.
So it was like, so unhelpful. Like, there was an Israeli film and Julie was like trying to understand some of the Hebrew but then reading French, and so her brain just kept messing it up, and I was just like, so we don't know what he was saying to that little boy.
And then also, didn't you go to Belgium?
Yeah, we went to Brussels, which is just a city about chocolate. So aka can't Julie and I's, like, dream. We went on a chocolate tour that we booked on Airbnb, and it was, like, this woman from New York who moved to Brussels after, like, she was, like, in finance or something. She moved to Brussels, went to, like, culinary school or whatever to learn how to make chocolate, became, at one point, the director of chocolate.
What?
For this giant company. And then now she, like, has a tour company where she has all these connections to the best chocolatiers in the city. And she takes us around to all their shops and gives us samples and describes to us, like, why that chocolate is better than the other one.
Oh,
and
my
why,
God.
You know. Yeah. And so, because every other store in Brussels is a chocolate shop. So you don't know. I don't know. You don't know what's good. And then we find out. Then we started passing all of the big chains. And we're like, we know that their cocoa isn't as pure. We know. We got real snobby by the end. Yeah. It was fantastic. We had chocolate-filled waffles, like, twice a day.
Oh, yeah.
We had ice cream every day that we were there. And, like, I've told people now, I'm like, I think I'm going through, like, chocolate withdrawal. Mm-hmm. Like, I got used to a certain level of, like, ice cream and chocolate every day. And now I'm just, like, going to work.
Yeah.
It's not acceptable.
No. I'm really jealous now because I feel like I can't go to Brussels because I won't be able to do any of that.
Yeah.
Dairy. Fuck dairy, man.
Well, there's no dairy in dark chocolate.
That's true, but I don't like dark chocolate. Yeah,
that's a shame. Yeah. That's a real shame.
I guess I'll have to now. So when they're announcing where the next venue is in March, is that correct?
Ugh, yeah.
Okay. Well, we have decided that if it is in Australia or New Zealand, we will go. Because that would be a great excuse to go.
Yes! Yes! Well, they are definitely, I feel like they're the front runner at this point. Them and Japan.
Hmm.
And New Zealand's also in the running, but yeah. I feel like I read that Japan and Australia were kind of the head of the pack right now.
Okay.
And I feel like I'd love to do either one of those.
Yeah.
So. Well,
it's a great excuse to go travel halfway around the world.
Yes! Like, that's the thing. And also, when you have, like, 4 or 3+ years to plan a trip, like, you can, like, let people know ahead of time, like, hey, I have a big trip planned, and you can start planning and doing all that stuff. It was so crazy, though, because, like, literally, we're going to the Paris game. No, the Lyon game? I don't know. Yes, the England versus U.S. semifinal in Lyon. We're on the metro going there, and we run into some other Americans going to the game. Mm-hmm. This nice little family, and they're going, oh, we were just in town for this, like, engineering conference, and we thought, hey, maybe we should go to this game. And we went online, and we found some tickets for, like, $30. And
wow.
We're like, oh. And they were like, how long have you been planning this trip? And we're like, a year. Oh. Like, oh, isn't that convenient for you? I'm sure they weren't great seats.
Yeah.
But, like, also, it was just like, wow, okay. Yeah. Guess I didn't need to put all this effort.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, but I think circling back to the next time you go and to how people are like, are you going to date? I think next time, wherever it is, you should, before the trip, like, months out before the trip, you should start using it as a pickup line. To people, like, other lesbians, be like, hey, are you going to the, you know, the World Cup, you know, or whatever, and then, like, if they are, then you can meet them there, and then that's very, like, you know, before sunrise, after sunset type, you know, we'll meet in the streets type thing.
Yes.
Which would be very great for you.
Oh, I love it. I love it. That's a great idea.
That's very fun.
I highly recommend attending a Women's World Cup, because...
Yeah.
It was just a blast.
Yeah.
It was a great experience. I mean, I think they could have done a little bit better preparing for the number of people that showed up.
Yeah.
Like, they had, like, 3 merch stands at the final, and they ran out of the t-shirts that said final on them, which is what I wanted. They ran out of those in, like, an hour.
Yeah.
So, and it took 45 minutes in the line to get to the point where we found out that they were sold out.
This is interesting because I think that very much relates to the forever question of, like, why aren't the Olympics hosted in the same place all the time? Because all, like, any site that is hosting a huge event like that, or or the Olympics or World Cup, and they don't already have that existing, like, preparedness, it's a difficulty, and it makes, you know, like, your experience a little bit less. And so, of course, it's great that it travels around, because then different countries can, you know, experience hosting it, but also that comes with a huge cost, and part of that is actual cost.
Yeah.
So, that is a little bit of a downside. But the good part of it is, especially for the Women's World Cup, is that it's such a, I think, more friendly way to go about it than something like the Olympics.
Or I think it's so much more manageable than the Olympics. You know, and as even as an attendee, it's so much more manageable because you don't feel like you're constantly missing out on something that's happening simultaneously to what you're doing. Yeah, and I feel like it's less overwhelming for the cities. Like, I definitely felt like Americans had overwhelmed Lyon a bit during those semifinals. We weren't there in the city for the final day because we went off to Grenoble, which I'm really glad we did, because it really did feel like Americans were taking over a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I don't know, that's not a good feeling.
Like, yeah. No,
being, like, loudly American.
Mm-hmm.
It was very complicated because you're literally in these stadiums and you're so excited for your team and you're shouting USA, USA, and it sounds so awful.
Yeah.
It sounds so grating and offensive, like USA, like we're the best, you know? Mm-hmm. And like, yes, in women's soccer, we are, and we get to be arrogant and loud because we can back it up. Like, we support the best team in the world who are, like, consistently amazing, like, and that's so awesome. And I am so, like, I'm so patriotic in the sense of those people that I was cheering on, like, specifically to me is, like, that's America. Like, those mm-hmm. are some of the most American people there, and it's just, like, in the national anthem plays, and you're just like, I got chills during the final when they played the national anthem. I got chills when they played like the English national anthem because it's like one of our patriotic songs as well.
Right.
When you don't have the lyrics. And but at the same time, literally the whole time I'm there, I'm on Twitter every day checking, and half my Twitter feed is Women's World Cup stuff, of people being excited, Pino mm-hmm. being amazing, and, like, being this crossover star now where I feel like Megan Rapinoe has, like, gone beyond soccer fame at this point, I think.
Yeah.
I feel like she's, like, gonna be a household name at this point.
Yeah.
And then it alternates with, here's what's happening in the detention centers on the border, and yeah. here's what Trump is doing, and here's the atrocities that the United States is committing. And so I'm, like, alternating that and just keep going every time I feel, like, excitement about, you know, our team and supporting and wearing my red, white, and blue and all that stuff. And then July 4th rolls around and I'm like, I'm glad we're not there. You know, I don't want to do it. And, you know, and it's just, yeah, it was very complicated being excited to be American.
Yeah. It is such a unique feeling, and to a much lesser degree, I felt that recently because we went to the Phillies game that the Smith Club of Philadelphia went as a group, and there were only, like, I don't know, 10 of us, 12 of us, but, so Kyle and I went, and we spent most of the time, like, I didn't know anybody else in the Smith Club, so I just was, we sat with them, and then, but we spent most of the time, like, walking around, watching it on, from the lower decks or whatever, and we were back in our seats during the seventh inning stretch when they sing, what, I don't know,
America the Beautiful. Take me out to the ball game?
No, yeah, but they also sing, like, America the Beautiful at that point.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And everybody stood up, and we didn't stand up, because that's not a national anthem,
right.
You know, like, that's just a song about America, and so we stayed sitting, and it felt very weird, because it felt like a very political move to be sitting during that,
mm-hmm.
and, like, I don't know, I had a moment where I was like, are people gonna, like, yell at us, because we're sitting around, like, Philly people, you know,
yeah.
and Philly people get mad, so,
yeah.
So, you know, nobody said anything or whatever, but it still was this moment where I was like, you know, I don't want to participate in this. I don't want to stand for the national anthem anyway, like the normal one when you're supposed to stand. So I'm not going to extra stand.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So,
well, one of my favorite moments at one of the games was they were playing our national anthem, and then the camera, you know, is going along all the players' faces or whatever,
yeah.
and they're showing it on the Jumbotron, and they end on Megan Rapinoe because she's the captain, so she's at the end, and the entire crowd cheered when it landed on her face during the national anthem. Like, we're great. Supporting you, like, it just, and the crowd were just so respectful during every country's national anthem, you know, mm-hmm. there wasn't any of that bullshit I feel like I've seen at other sporting events,
mm-hmm.
you know?
It's yeah, just... I definitely, there was some stuff with the way it was broadcast here that I think if you had been here, you might have been talking about, because there were definitely things where I was like, I don't know, little red flags with the way they talked about the stuff pregame a lot of the time, where they were talking about Megan Rapinoe and what she was saying, obviously. And then also, like, during the national anthem, they would always focus on her not singing, because she didn't sing, and I thought that was a little bit trying to, like, show her in a bad light, which I thought was a great light, you know, like, good for her for being respectful, but also dissenting. And then, also, the one thing that really pissed me off, and it just, like, was very nostalgic for me because I hate NBC so much during the Olympics, and it was, like, finally Fox's turn to get a little bit of hate, because they kept, so we watched every game as, like, when you left, we started watching every game from that point forward, live, and every time after that, I got duped into what time the game started at, because they kept advertising the next game, and they would be like, it's on at 9 a.m., and we're like, all right, we're here, it's 9 a.m., and it didn't start until 11 a.m., so we had to sit there for two hours. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, I just have to watch them talk about Megan Rapinoe being a bad person for 2 hours. Mm-hmm. Thanks for nothing, Fox.
Like, I don't, they need to get rid of Alexi Lawless, first of all. He's the worst.
Yeah, he's not great. Oh, God.
He's terrible. But that's really... so great hearing about, because I didn't see any of the broadcasts, you know?
Yeah, I did enjoy, there were some other things that I did enjoy, like they did have a majority female presence on the field and commentators. They did have a man in the final, which I thought was weird. I think it should have been all women in the final commentating, but okay. And then they had, like, Ava DuVernay did a voiceover for one of the clip packages, which was great, because I was like, I know that voice, she's amazing, they're amazing, everything about this is amazing, you know? And then also, like, the advertising that was happening during the games, which you saw before you left, obviously, but, like, it just kept, like, ramping up and up, and, like, we were watching, like, those Nike ads, and I was just getting, like, major goosebumps, like, oh my god. Mm-hmm. The little girls at home watching this right now are gonna be inspired. They're gonna play soccer in college, and they're gonna go on and be on a team, and it's amazing. And God, it was just like, that was some of the highlights for me, was just seeing those. I know it's so stupid because it's advertising and it's made to do that, but also it worked.
I'm so conflicted about the promotion of, like, women's sports as, like, this inspiration for children, because I don't feel like they do it with men's sports at all, like, really at all. Like, instead, it's like, this is something you do with your bros, you grab a beer and have some Taco Bell or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Versus, like, inspiration porn, that they have these women be, but at the same time, I think, like, maybe we should hold men to a higher standard, and, like, we could balance this out where it's not just fully the women are these up on this pedestal who have to inspire a nation and the children and be all these role models and all of this stuff, and that the men just sell, like, beer, basically, and McDonald's or whatever.
That is a great,
like,
point.
I feel like, just, like, balance it out where the men maybe have to be a little bit more of a role model. Maybe stop hitting their wives.
Yeah.
And the women get to be more, you know, sellouts, maybe, you know?
Yeah.
I think to a certain extent, the women get less of that inspiration porn necessity. I don't really see it changing with the men too much, but I guess I only ever watch, like, the Super Bowl or whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
I know there are, I'm trying to think about it, and yeah, there definitely are, like, you know, Peyton Manning does those ads for whatever insurance with Brad Paisley, where they're on the tour bus together, but, like, yeah, you're right, it is less inspirational, but there
are
some.
I'm trying to think of, like, ads where it's, like, a little boy is, like, looking upwards at, like, a male athlete, and they're, like, someday, or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just trying to think of, like, when children are really used in that advertising. Like, literally the cover of Sports Illustrated for, with the women's national team on there, they have to, they're posing there with little girls, and the headline was something like, inspiring the next generation or something like that. Which I fully agree. I think they're amazing inspirational figures, and I think they're fantastic, well-rounded, fully three-dimensional people, and we're learning so much about their political views and their personal views and all of this stuff. But also, I guess it's, I feel like that's been the narrative for the last 20 years.
Right, yeah. To be fair, they did have that Hulu ad that was them goofing off, which I did enjoy. I loved it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think you're right. The only one I can think of for men in that vein off the top of my head is, like, a Gillette ad, where it's, like, somebody being taught to shave. I think it's somebody who has, like, an arm, is missing part of his arm or something, and he is now a running back. and he only has one hand or something, but it's like him as a child learning how to shave with one hand, and, you know, it's for Gillette, so obviously. But yeah, I you're right, it isn't like a teach young boys how to be better thing. But on the flip side of that, we have been watching so many sports. We did watch the home derby this week.
Right.
Which was so fun. I hated it at first. And I mean, like, it was really annoying. But then it got so good. And they did have a package in the middle of it where one of the guys, whose name is Vladimir, and he spoke in Spanish, amazing. And he was interviewed in Spanish, which I thought was amazing. Sure. They had a female Spanish-speaking reporter on the field to talk to all the Spanish-speaking guys, which was great. And she would translate on the spot for the rest of us at home. It was great. So Vladimir Guerrero Jr., his dad played before him. And so his dad played in the Home Run Derby, you know, years ago. And he brought tiny Vlad with him. And he won the derby that year, and so they had footage of him celebrating with his dad when he was a little kid. And then so they were showing it, like, you know, like exactly like that, like him looking up to his dad. And then he unfortunately did not go on to win, but he set two new records, and he totally would have won. It was an insane turn of events. I feel like if anybody is interested in baseball, you should go watch the highlights of the Home Run Derby, because it was bananas. yeah, they had to go to, like, sudden death playoffs. It was
jeez.
Great. Yeah, it was, I know a lot about the home run derby rules now, so.
I feel like that's the kind of baseball I would watch, is if there were constantly, like, connecting a hit,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it was, I mean, like, very rapid fire. And also fun because you get to see, like, I don't know, 70 plus people catch home run balls in the outfield or in the stands. They had tiny children in the outfield, so if it didn't go out of the into the stands, the kids were out there catching the balls, and they were excited. And then if it did go out into the stands, then people, like old men and, you know, other people were catching these balls, and it was the highlight of their life. They finally caught a home run ball.
That's great.
So everybody was having a great time. It was lovely. Also, we watched some golf after the World Cup final. We were watching golf, and there were two just out of college guys playing in this tournament, and beat out another, like, tour player for first. They were there on exemptions. They're not on the tour. They are, like, just fresh out of college playing in one event, and one of them won, and the other one tied for second, and it was unreal. It was like so cool because, again, it was like, oh my god, the young people are the future, and I don't know, sports are fun.
Yeah, they really are. And like, I think I've seen a lot of headlines recently of like, okay, now you're a women's soccer fan because of this World Cup, like,
yeah,
what, like, here's what you can do about it, sort of a thing, and here's how you can keep watching. And I definitely, yeah, I don't keep watching out of, like, some sense, or, like, don't be like, oh, I guess I'll buy season tickets to this team just so that I won't go to any of the games, but then I'll financially support them. Like, we don't want your charity.
Right.
You know? Like, watch more soccer if it genuinely, like, interested in you, and, like, yeah, you really, like, want to keep watching, because, like, that, I would love some more fans, you know? Like, I want some more people to start watching the NWSL. All of the games are free on Yahoo Sports, which is an app I can download. I download on the Roku. I'm sure it's on other platforms, Xbox, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it's literally so easy to use. It's free. ESPN also got some games this year that they're going to have on, like, ESPN News and ESPN2. I don't have those, so that's dumb to me. Mm-hmm. But Yahoo Sports is really easy to use. So if you want to watch the games, they're every weekend, you know. There's always some games happening. And then, because the UF Soccer Federation fucking sucks, they decided that they're going to have this victory tour, and one of the first games is going to be during an NWSL weekend.
Nice.
And so they're going to take all of their players.
Oh, no.
from their teams. Great. To go play a nice little victory game or whatever.
Oh.
Which is some bullshit. Literally, the U.S. Soccer Federation is, like, the NWSL. They run the NWSL.
Right.
So, like, how do you not... That's just... Come on.
That's
Come
silly.
On. This is why we file lawsuits against them.
Yeah, exactly. Did you ever find out the title of that book about Title IX?
Oh, no.
Okay.
I didn't look.
You gotta look, because I tried to look it up, and I found one, but then I was reading a review of it, and it was like, oh, this is a really anti-Title IX book. Don't buy this. And the cover was, like, really deceiving. It looked like it would be a book for us. So I'd be interested to find out the title of the one you were talking about, because I am still interested.
I mean, I just have to assume that there is one. I definitely feel like I heard about it on Twitter somewhere. All right. I feel like I'll just give you the names of a bunch of, like, sports, women's soccer writers and sports writers and stuff who have probably mentioned it in the past.
Okay. Also, I don't know if you have read it, but if our listeners have not, I would also recommend, I read an article about, I think maybe Jemele Hill wrote it for ESPN originally, but it was getting recirculated during the final, about Megan Rapinoe's brother and her relationship with him. And it was really, really interesting. And
I didn't even know she had a brother.
Yeah, he was incarcerated for most of her life. And for drug use. And so it's all about how, you know, like, he was a role model to her, and then he disappeared from her life. And so she gave him a shout out at the end of the semifinal game, I guess. And so people were like, who's Brian? And that article came back around, and it's a really fascinating reading. It's also really interesting in context of her, you know, the way she is in front of the media and stuff, because it is all really personal to her, you know? So I can find that article and dust it off and send it to you as well. Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds fascinating. She's just wonderful. She's a true American hero. It's the only way I can describe it is like, she is the best of us.
Yeah.
In every sense of the word, you know?
She is great. It's so great.
Yeah. I'm just so happy that this was like a launching platform for more people to have Megan Rapinoe awareness.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask you a long-term down the line question? So for the players that we got attached to in this World Cup, are we going to see them in another World Cup, or are they going to be of retirement age soon? Like,
I mean, the young ones, Rose Lavelle, you'll definitely see her again. She's the future. My guess and my kind of hope in a certain way is Carly Lloyd is done. I don't think internationally she's got much to contribute left. I think Carly Lloyd will probably retire soon. But I don't know. Okay. They're in good shape, I feel like.
Great. I was just wondering, like, will we be... I assumed we would see most of them at the Olympics, because if it had been, like, their last thing, they would have been talking about it, like, a capstone of their career type deal. But I just was wondering, coming down the pipeline, if we were going to have to be saying goodbye to some of them already. Because that's also kind of a gut punch.
I mean, that tends to happen. You know, there was a lot of surprise ones 4 years ago, like Lauren Holiday retiring and the peak of her career when she was like 26 or something, because she went off and got married and had kids and had brain surgery or something. Oh my god. She's crazy. She's awesome. so you kind of don't know what's gonna happen. Like, I think the hope for most of them, like the stars, like Pino and Alex Morgan and all that, and Tobin Heath, I'm sure they're hoping to make it another 4 years to the next World Cup. You know, I don't, like, everyone talks about, like, literally, oh, Alex Morgan turned 30 during that England game. And so, you know, she's getting close to retirement. You know?
Oh, God. Like,
her twilight years are ahead.
Oh, Jesus.
I told Julie that, you know. It's like, who's 30 now? But it's funny, too, because Julie's also thinking about, like, how many more dance years does she have left at 30?
Yeah.
You never know. Like, you never know how long your body's gonna, how it's gonna give you.
Just ride it till the wheels fall off.
Yeah.
Can I say one more thing about Tobin Heath? I love Tobin Heath. I don't know why, but I don't know. She, to me, visually, looks like she is from 1910 and she transported here. She looks like she has, like, survived a cholera epidemic. She has this face like she belongs on Downton Abbey. Like, I don't know what it is about her, but every time they do, like, a close-up of her, I'm always like, what are you doing? You should be in a full petticoat. Like, I don't know what it is, but I swear to God, wow. It's all I can think when I see her, and I love her for it.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So, I just think surfer dude, but wow, oh, okay. Interesting. I like okay. it. Because when she talks, and like she is a surfer, and when she talks, I don't know, there's just something that's just like, yeah, whatever, man. Vibe wow. about her.
See, this is another failure on Fox's part, not to show yes. me that side of her. I would never have known, because they didn't ever interview her. I didn't mm-hmm. see her talking. So I could only guess what she is like, and I assume that she is a heavy tea drinker, and she's really into fine china, and sure. such reading books in a window.
You know? Meanwhile, like, every picture I've ever seen of her, like, outside of her soccer clothes is, like, ripped jeans, backwards baseball hat.
Amazing. Oh, God. It's the opposite. It's opposite world. Oh, God.
Oh, well, man. I would recommend folks, first of all, you know, follow Megan Rapinoe on social media and everything, mm. but I would also recommend following Rose Lavelle, because she has a bulldog named Wilma uh-huh. that is, like, the love of her life. She's also from Cincinnati, which, mm-hmm. not that I'm really from there, but, you know, there's, yeah.
Also, she plays for the Spirit, right?
Which she plays for the Spirit, obviously, yeah. so that's really fun, but I guarantee you, when she's reunited with Wilma, there will be some good dog content.
Oh, great.
If you follow Rose Lavelle online.
All right, insta-follow. I'm going yeah. right now to do that. Well, are we doing recommendations? Is it time? Because I have one.
Oh, sure. Yeah, you go ahead. I'll think of what I have.
Okay, I can't reach it. It's on the other side of the table for me. But I purchased Linda Holmes's book, her new book, her first book, mm-hmm. Evie Drake Starts Over, and I'm, like, 10 chapters in. The chapters are really short. It's a beach read, is how she describes it, but it is so good so far, and it's also sporty. It's on topic for tonight. The premise is Evie Drake is a young widowed woman, and she lives in Maine, and she has a tenant living in, like, the apartment attached to her house who is a washed-up Major League Baseball pitcher who he got the yips and he couldn't throw anymore. And it is, so we are both, I don't know if you still listen to Pop Culture Happy Hour, but we are both, like, long-term, or were at one point long-term mm-hmm. listeners of that show, and mm-hmm. at one point knew her very well through that show. Yeah. And I feel like, I haven't listened to it in a long time, but I can hear her reading it to me.
Yeah.
It's so, everything in it is so connected to who she is. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't think of another, maybe it's because I don't know other authors that way. Like, I've never yeah. read a book by a podcaster before, but
right.
it's so interesting because the main character has a friend, like a best friend, who's a man, and it just seems like that's Stephen Thompson, and that's Linda Holmes, and they're mm-hmm. having breakfast together, and they're talking about things that they would be talking about on the podcast, and I am loving it so far, and I will lend anybody my copy who wants it. Mm. It's I can't recommend it enough. And also, I follow her on Twitter, and seeing her joy at getting, like, she's picked as the book club of the month for the Today Show, like, aww. She's on the New York Times bestseller list. Like, everything good is happening, and I'm so aww. Happy for her, and it's great. So
that's awesome.
It's called Evie Drake Starts Over.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, while Julie and I were traipsing around France and Belgium, we would come home to our Airbnb or our hotel and turn on the TV and see what movie can we watch in English.
Ooh.
And in Belgium, we watched Mission Impossible 3,
okay.
which I had never seen and Julie had seen years and years ago. Delightful, wonderful, highly recommend. And then one night we pulled up Netflix and watched The Last Summer, which was like,
summer.
We thought, like, oh, here we go, like, dumb, like, teen rom-com that Netflix just put out
uh-huh.
with the guy from Riverdale and the girl from The Fosters, and, like, basically, like, every kid from every one of those shows in this movie. And we're like, this will be, like a dumb teen thing. Wonderful. Delightful. Mm. Okay. Loved it. Can't recommend it enough. It was just a great movie. It was just fun. We also saw Footloose, the 2011 remake.
Oh, no.
Also delightful.
Really? Okay.
Absurd, of course.
Right.
Absurd. This whole banning dancing in a town thing is like you have to make so many like leaps, and then he's logic angry leaps, dancing at one point. It's just fantastic. great stuff. We went and saw Spider-Man while we were in France.
Oh my god.
Fantastic movie. Highly recommend.
Okay.
Wonderful. You have to stay for both end credit scenes. Wonderful. I think that's all I can think of. They were always showing like Friends on the TV and stuff like that. And so, yeah, was great. Yeah,
I can get behind all of that.
Those things. Yeah, I just you'll definitely. I feel like you'll have access to the Netflix one the last summer. You'll love it.
Yeah, we were thinking about watching Spider-Man. Spider-Verse again now that it's on Netflix as well, and I do want to see the new Spider-Man movie because I've heard it's like the best one besides that one.
It's a really good movie, and I feel like it's necessary viewing for the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
True. Yeah, that's
just based on like, because if you watch the trailer, I feel like it's I can't say more.
Okay, great. I also saw a review, I think it was in Vulture today, that was like, it's the Call Me By Your Name version of Spider-Man. And I was like, I want to see it now just so I can determine if that is true or not.
I guess I don't know enough about Call Me By Your Name.
It can't possibly be true.
I'm trying to picture.
It can't possibly be.
Do they mean him and Jake Gyllenhaal?
I think I see it. Okay, so it must be... Is there, like, a very romantic, homoerotic element happening?
No.
No? I see a homoromantic element in it?
Like, they have interactions, the That's two enough. Of them.
Yeah.
That's enough.
Also, as you know from experience, that's more than enough.
More, much more than enough.
Oh my god, why am I this way?
Yeah, I feel like if you're going into it thinking that you're gonna get some satisfaction out of that,
right,
you're gonna be disappointed, so maybe don't.
Right.
You can certainly maybe in the first, like, 20 minutes of the movie maybe read some of that into there, but, you know.
Okay, but my serious, real question is, I haven't seen any of the other, besides the Avengers ones, I haven't seen his first movie, Spider-Man movie. Does that matter?
I barely remembered it.
Okay, great. Because I haven't seen, you know, any of those other supporting characters, like Zendaya's character, MJ, or the other schoolmate of his. I don't know them.
I mean, I don't remember his name. It's his best friend, and he knows he's Spider-Man. Like, that's all you kind of need to know.
Okay, great. All right.
Yeah. I truly, like, I can't remember his name at all.
Cool. Great.
No.
Okay. Well, I will, I don't know. The next definite movie we're seeing is Hobbs and Shaw, so maybe we'll go before we see that.
Every time a trailer comes out, like, every movie I see that has a trailer for that, I'm like, yes!
Yeah, you're coming with me to see that, right?
Yes, obviously. Okay, that's your like bachelorette party,
right? Yeah, well, you haven't RSVP'd to my wedding yet, so
what?
Yeah.
Oh, is it online?
Yeah. I just assumed you're coming. My dad also has not, so you're fine.
That's pretty bad. I'm gonna get on that. I'm sorry about that.
I know. No, it's fine.
Like, it's obviously, it's on my calendar.
Right,
like,
right. Yeah.
Don't worry about it, but.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I won't worry about it. Great. Yeah. I made your boutonniere yesterday, by the way.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. Gonna be great.
It's exciting.
Yeah. Cool. Well.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Zach doesn't have anything for us.
No, he just sent us pictures of Thor throughout the whole vacation. I guess maybe to make Julie upset that she wasn't home.
Did also, it work?
Thor is adorable. Yeah. Yeah, I feel like at the end of the trip, she was like, had something that she was excited to go back to.
Right.
And me, I was like, I could just quit my whole life.
Right.
And move to Europe.
You should start a business for people that want to do that and help them get, like, the necessary visas and stuff, because we would eventually sign up for that.
I mean, that woman who ran our chocolate tour was like, yeah, I was in finance, and then I was like, nah, I gotta get into chocolate.
But how?
And I was understand. Like, you're describing my life.
I don't understand people who are just like, yep, here I go, and what? Do they just convert all their stuff into cash and then take all their cash to the new place? I have so many questions.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, how long could I live off my savings? How long could I, like, pretend to be sick from work and still get paychecks?
Yeah, did you, like, cash in on all your vacation time so you can't do it right now? You have to wait some time to rack it back up?
Well, actually, I shockingly didn't use a crazy amount of vacation time, and I really regretted not using more, actually, because I came back, I used summer hours to come in 3 hours late the day after I flew back, and I came in at noon, and everyone was like, what are you doing here? Didn't you just fly in yesterday? And I was like, yeah, but I had summer hours, and then I was like, yeah, what the fuck? I have enough leave. I could have used an extra day to, like, get over my jet lag. But instead, I went home at 7:40 at night, went to bed.
Jesus. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I hate that. I hate it. Ugh. Oh, God. Yeah. Well, now you know for the next World Cup what to do and what not to do. So.
If the next World Cup is in fucking Australia, though, or Japan, we're fucked.
Also, you're going to have to take a boat to Australia. You can't fly all that way. Oh, my God.
A boat? I'd just be puking the entire time.
Oh, that's true. Submarine.
After all the travel, all the different methods of travel, I was like, it's not motion. That's not it. Or I wonder, it's a small component of it.
Is it your inner ear? Well,
that's what he was saying. My doctor was saying it's not. He was saying it's a more of a brain thing.
Huh.
And he said I didn't need a CT scan to see if the cholesteatoma had come back, but it's like, it's been like 5 years or something.
Hmm.
Like, shouldn't we check? Like, why is my life getting worse? You know?
Because you're aging like a human?
Yeah. Yeah. I just do feel that it was directly related to anxiety and exhaustion
more
than
sure.
anything else. Like, that's what was triggering it more than anything.
I think you're onto something with the knocking yourself out for it.
Yeah. I just wish I could find something that actually did that instead of me throwing it up.
Right. An injection of some kind.
Yeah. Well, obviously I want that stupid scopolamine patch, but it's in shortage. So, CVS has been sending me a text message every day for the last 3 weeks saying, Jesus. We're putting in a special order for you. We'll let you know when it arrives.
Great. Thanks, CVS. But,
great. The FDA says it's in shortage, so
we'll never see it. Great. Oh.
And this has been Drug Talk with Becca and Shannon.
Oh my God, can
this
I say, wait,
this has been What's My Ailment?
Wait, I have a Drug Talk segment. I went to get my Nexplanon, my implant, removed yesterday. I've had it for 3 years, and I got to the office, and I walked in, and I had the same lady I had 3 years ago. I remembered her tattoos, and she's so cool, and I love her. And she was like, you don't have to get it out for 2 more years.
What?
And I was like, that's amazing, because, and she was like, as long as you're happy with it, it's been approved for 5 years now. So just keep it in there. And I was like, thank you. And I just walked out. I didn't have to pay anything. She was like, free of charge. See you in amazing. 2 years. It was great.
Wow.
Yeah. Thanks, Planned Parenthood. Wow. It's great.
And here I am paying $20 every 3 months. Although my sister tried that Nexplanon or whatever, and it did not go well for her. And I feel like our body chemistry is similar enough that I don't trust myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's tough. If it doesn't work, it's stuck in you, so.
Yeah. And, like, you can feel it.
You can. You want to see it?
I think that would freak me out way too much.
It's right there.
Mm.
Look at it.
Mm.
Yeah, I watched a video in preparation for getting it out, because I was like, what does that entail? And it was disgusting, and I'm really upset that I watched it.
I want to pass out just thinking about it.
Yeah,
like, don't think about it. My legs are weak right now.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I can't lift my arms. I know how you are. Sorry. Yeah, well, they were playing One Day at a Time in the lobby. It was great. Except it was the very sad depression episode, so that was not great. Oh. But it was important to watch as a person.
I love that they have Netflix on the TVs in waiting rooms now.
Yeah, like, so
that's
handy.
Some next level shit.
It is. It really is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that has been Trug Talk.
Yes.
Great. Well, we did our recommendations.
Yeah. We've done all tune in next week to see how my battle with my drug insurance, my health insurance company is going, because I'm sure that's what people are tuning in for.
Yeah. Oh, that is the
it's height, going poorly.
Height of excitement right there. Oh man. Well, tell Zach he needs some drug related humor next time.
Yeah. I mean, tell him to poll all the people at his health insurance company he works for.
And oh, be yeah, like,
give us some drug jokes.
Yeah. Oh my god. I cannot wait.
Yeah.